We now present Dr. Bob Jones, Sr., internationally known evangelist and founder of Bob Jones University, who during his earthly ministry was one of God's great warriors for the faith.
My friends, if you have before you your Bibles, I'd like to suggest that you open your Bible to the 7th Psalm. All right, these words: God judges the righteous, and God is angry with the wicked every day. Now, wait a minute. Let's stop there. God doesn't hate wicked men, but God is angry with the wickedness of wicked men. You know, God will not hold back his anger forever. God hates sin. Since God is a God of infinite love, he has to hate sin. You can't love good things without hating bad things. You can't love purity without hating impurity. You can't love Jesus Christ without hating the devil. What we love and what we hate determine what we are. So God is angry with the wicked every day. If ye turn not, that is, if the wicked turn not, he will whet his sword. God will whet his sword. Sooner or later, judgment's coming. He has bent his bow and made it ready. God's ready for the destruction. Judgment hangs over the head of every wicked man, every sinner listening to me this morning. He hath also prepared for him the instruments of death. He ordaineth his arrows against the persecutors. I'd like to stop with that verse there, that statement, persecutors. It's a very significant statement. Persecution in the Bible has to do with opposition to the will of God. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you and say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Here's a man that starts out to live for God. He meets persecution, and you will meet persecution. If you've never been persecuted, you've never been a righteous man. Blessed are ye when men revile you and persecute you and say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. The Bible makes it plain that if we live godly in this world, we'll have to suffer persecution. Now let's take the story of the Jewish race as a race. I'm not talking about the Jews now as individuals. God doesn't think any more of an individual Jew than he does an individual Gentile. God has no respect of persons. Every man in the world accepts Jesus Christ as his Savior, whether he be Jew or Gentile. Bond or free, rich or poor, that man saved. God did not choose the Jews as individuals, but he chose the Jews as a race. Racially, God chose the Jews. Nobody's ever been able to exterminate them. Nobody's ever been able to kill off the Jews. Hitler tried it. In A.D. 70, when Titus came to Rome, he took the little babies in his hands and took them by the heels, his army did, and dashed their brains against the walls of the city. They tried to destroy him, but they couldn't. You can't destroy the Jewish race. God chose a race, this race. Strange as it may seem, God chose this race for a purpose. And he's holding today in reserve the Jewish race for the future. One of the most significant things that's happening on this earth today is the fact that the Jews are back in Palestine, and for the first time in almost 2,000 years, they have a government of their own. They're going to get that country. God promised it to them. It's as definite a contract between God and that race as any contract ever made. Now, the Jews have always been persecuted. I don't say they've been blameless. They, like other people, they've had their sins. They've done many things they shouldn't do. And they have faults like all the rest of us. But racially, they're God-chosen. God-chosen. You can't eliminate them. You can't destroy them. And they've been miraculously preserved. Everything's been done by the devil to exterminate the Jew, to thwart the purpose of God in the days ahead. So the Jews have been persecuted. And I want you to stop here to remember something. God said, I'll bless those that bless you and curse those that curse you. You can like it or not like it, but that's in the Bible. And God Almighty has cursed every nation that ever mistreated the Jew. Every nation that's ever been kind to the Jew racially, God has blessed that nation. Every nation ever persecuted the Jew, God has cursed that nation. The curse of God came upon Germany when Hitler tried to exterminate them, because God has a purpose for them. Now, I'm not saying that they're faultless. I'm not saying they're any better than anybody else. I'm not saying they don't have that peculiar racial attitudes that sometimes may irritate Gentiles, and we probably irritate them too. But here they are. Now, he's talking here in this Old Testament time, back in the Psalms, about persecutors. And notice what he says about it. He says, he ordaineth his arrows against the persecutors. Now, if you're a Christian, if you're a child of God, if you belong to God, then you're going along the line of God's will for your life. God has a will for the life of every child of his. You have opposition. The devil's against you. This world is no friend of grace. The world is against every Christian in the world. You are a pilgrim and a stranger. The Bible says our citizenship's in heaven. We have opposition. The devil is against every center of testimony, every base of Christian emphasis. If the devil isn't against a school, there's something wrong with the school. If it's a spiritual school, the devil's against it. You know, whenever I go to a town and somebody tells me that everybody's for a certain preacher, beware of that preacher. Any preacher in any town that's so popular with everybody, that preacher's a compromiser. You can always put that down. He's compromising, he wouldn't be popular. If you live godly, you suffer persecution. That's the Bible. So I'm not very enthusiastic about a preacher that nobody's against. When you hear a preacher that he's always in demand for all the clubs, he's always the speaker chosen by worldly men to represent them on worldly occasions, that preacher, according to the Bible standard, is a compromiser. You can always depend on it. Because if you belong to God, men may respect you. They may want to do business with you. They may want your business. They may respect your culture or your talent or your ability. But they're against you if you are for God. This world is against you. Let's understand it. You'll have persecutors if you're God's man or God's woman. And the measure of your persecution that you have to face is a measure of the sort of impact that you put upon the world for God. Now, if Paul had been negative, just trusted Christ and paid no attention to him, never stood for anything, he'd never gone to jail. But Paul was chosen by Almighty God as an apostle to the Gentiles to go and shake the foundation of the Roman Empire and write the epistles. And Paul met persecution. And every man that ever went out for God, and the more emphatic he is and the more uncompromising he is, the greater his opposition, the greater his persecution. You know, I'll tell you, men and women, you can judge a man's spiritual value by the sort of opposition he has. Now, that is if the man is really spiritual. You can always judge that. But I want to say something to you folks, you persecutors. I don't care who you are. You may be a deacon or an elder or a vestryman. You may be a Sunday school teacher. You may even be a preacher. You may even stand in some pulpit. You may be a religious boss. But I'm putting you on notice today. If you oppose a real spiritual movement chosen by Almighty God, you're a persecutor. And God Almighty is going to bring you to judgment for it. What's that I read in the Bible? If you offend one of these little ones, one of the least of God's children, if you offend him, that is, if you oppose him and block him and make it difficult for him, God said, you better have a millstone about your neck and you better be drowned the depth of the sea. I've said 100 times in many places, if I had a hound dog in my town barking for Jesus Christ, I wouldn't kick that dog around. I'd take that dog out to my house and I'd give him something to eat. When I find a man that's out for God and God's blessing him, he's winning people to Jesus Christ and bringing souls to God and standing for the Christian testimony, I'm not going to be against that man. And you better not be against him. Because if so, you're a persecutor and God Almighty has his arrows and he's going to pierce your heart with curses and judgment and sorrows. God's against the persecutors. He says he ordained his arrows against the persecutors. That means God Almighty shoots from his bow of judgment the arrows of his wrath into the hearts and lives and souls of persecutors. I've lived long enough to see this thing happen. I've seen men lie down and die. I've seen tragedy come to homes. I could name families that have persecuted my ministry in days gone by when I've been in the evangelistic campaign. And I've seen their children behind prison bars. And I've seen sorrows come to them in shame and disgrace and dishonor. I could name families I know now who, during the years of my ministry, when I've been out winning souls to Christ, having revivals, who persecuted us for doing the work of God, and God Almighty turned arrows of judgment loose on them. Now, that's what it says here. He's ordained his arrows of judgment against persecutors. You better be careful what you're doing. You better watch your step, my friend. You are playing not with the servant of God. You are playing with God. God takes an interest in his own. And God has a plan and a will and a purpose. And God directs the path of those who belong to him and surrender to him. They may not be perfect men. None of us are perfect men. We all have limitations. We're all not perfect in judgment, and we have our faults and all that kind of thing. But you better be careful. Now listen, behold, he travaileth. That's the wicked now. Here's the wicked man. Travaileth with iniquity and hath conceived mischief and brought forth falsehood. Now notice what he says here. I wish I had time for a whole sermon on it. He made a pit. That's the wicked man. He made a pit and digged it and is fallen into the ditch which he made. Now here's a man, persecutor, a sinner, a wicked man. He goes out here and digs a ditch for the child of God. And what happens to it? He said, I'm going to watch him fall in. And the first thing you know, the man that digs a ditch falls in. You are going to have to come back to you every arrow that you shoot from your bow toward the heart of God's people. God Almighty will catch those arrows with the hand of omnipotence and put them in his bow and shoot them back at you with an omnipotent power more terrible than you've ever imagined. And you go dig a pit. You dig it and try to let God's servants fall into it. And the first thing you know, you fall into it. You better be careful about what you're doing. When you're dealing with a Christian institution, when you're dealing with a God-called man, when you're dealing with a servant of the Lord Jesus Christ, and you're dealing with somebody who's been called of God and who surrendered to God to do a job, you better be careful. You better watch your step. I warn you today, on the authority of God's word, the wicked man, whoever he may be, wherever he may be, that digs a pit for the feet of a child of God, sooner or later, that man falls into the pit that he himself digs. Now listen, he says, his mischief shall return upon his own head, and his violent dealing shall come down upon him. I will praise the Lord according to his righteousness. I'll sing praise the name of the Lord Most High. You know, many women, I've had many faults in my life. I think I have more than nearly anybody. And the older I get, the more I'm ashamed of the faults of my life and ministry. But I've always tried to say a good word and give encouragement to men and women of God. If I find the blessing of God upon an institution, upon a pulpit, upon a church, I always try to say a good word for him. I remember years ago, a man was talking to me about a certain pastor in the state of Texas, whose name I will not call on the radio this morning, but a man that's a soul winner. And this man was saying every mean thing about that man. And you know, I happen to know that in that man's town, that nearly every man that ever persecuted him died a strange and tragic death. Say what you please about that man. He's a chosen vessel of Almighty God, and he's bringing many hundreds to the Lord Jesus Christ. He's no close personal friend of mine, so I'm not talking about any personal friend. But I wouldn't dare say anything against him. When Billy Sunday came along, and people talked about him. Back in my early days, Sam Jones and George Stewart and John B. Culpepper. Back in those days when Dr. Henry C. Morrison was persecuted. As a boy, I was always afraid to lift my hand in opposition against any man that God Almighty is using. If God can use him, you better be for him. For if you dig a pit for his feet, God's man, you'll fall into that pit. Our Heavenly Father, help the sinners today, the persecutors. Help the people, some of them who may be clothed with the robes of church membership, whose lives are not yielded to God, who have ecclesiastical ambitions or some other kind of ambition, who are persecutors of those who are called of God to do a job for God. We pray to be with them and watch over them. Bless us here at Bob Jones University. Help us to be brotherly and charitable and kind and magnanimous and generous and friendly to everybody that's for God, whoever he may be, wherever he may be. Help us remember that all saved people, our brothers and sisters, we belong to the body of Christ, and every Christian needs every other Christian. And keep us true until Jesus comes, we pray in his name. Amen.
You have just heard Dr. Bob Jones, Sr., internationally known evangelist and founder of Bob Jones University, who during his earthly ministry was one of God's great warriors for the faith. This program is sponsored by Bob Jones University.